Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
So Adrian Wojnarowski, the best in the business at covering the NBA, joins us now here. Sedano Show here on 710. Ramona Shelburne hanging out. Woj, thanks for taking the time. I hope everyone at home is safe and healthy.
They are. They are, George. Hope the same for you guys. I know Ramona's gang is, and so and hope everybody in your audience is too.
Appreciate that. So, Woj, with all the information that's come out here over the last 24 hours or so, how much closer are we to potentially having an NBA season?
There's absolute momentum toward that, George. I think there's a structure in place that's coming together and a calendar of how it might work. And I think most importantly, there's an increasing level of comfort. I don't know if comfort is the word, but maybe an acceptance that there's going to be risk involved in a return to play for players, for staff. I think there's a level of trust from the Players Association and the owners that Adam Silver and his group, who have studied it, who have been consulting with their experts, studying how different leagues and entities around the world have tried to sort of handle best practices here, and that there's an ability to move forward here in the next maybe month or so to start toward reopening camps and playing again. Now, they're not there, and there was a list that we reported some of those elements last night in terms of, like, how the virus spreads here as states reopen, and the availability of tests, and, you know, continuing to look at the data of who's getting sick, who's most at risk, and what are the risks for those who would be playing or refereeing or around a basketball environment that they would create. So we're not all the way there yet, but I do listen. The owners and those who got off the call with Adam Silver last night were more optimistic than they've been, and they had left the call a couple weeks ago feeling like they were progressing toward it. And, you know, the players call on Friday, I think Adam Silver speaking directly to a lot of the union leadership was very helpful. And it's getting everybody on board that there could be a way to do this.
Well, do you think there's a way that people can all get on board? I mean, is there ever going to be anything that feels like consensus or unanimous, or are there going to be teams that just feel like, no, we don't want to do this? Like, maybe teams that are not in it, especially this year, just want to make sure next year is not messed up, or players that just, no matter how many safety protocols you put in, they just don't feel comfortable. What happens with those people those types?
Yeah, no, Ramona, it's a good question. And yeah, there are going to be pockets of people who, I don't know, who absolutely don't want to do it and refuse, but I think, are there some who are less enthusiastic about it? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And but I do believe even teams who don't have a motivation to be in this, organizations who aren't going to be in the playoffs and
right,
don't see a real value in the games, I think most of them see a value in the training camp and getting guys back in the gym and at least being able to mm-hmm. all get back together and play for however long it is. Now, are the teams like Cleveland and Atlanta and Golden State going to value whatever games are left? No, but you know what? They wouldn't be valuing them greatly either if we were
True.
Just winding down the regular season and playing. They'd be playing their younger guys, and Steph Curry probably wouldn't be playing much, maybe a Trae Young or a Bradley Beal, name it, on non-playoff teams. And so I think generally among the organizations, they know they have a responsibility to the greater good here. And and that's been part of Adam Silver's ability to be able to sell this to everybody, owners, front offices, players, and he's going to have to continue selling this. And first and foremost, he's got to sell the idea that this is a safe environment. And listen, and for those who don't competitively feel like there's a lot to gain, for players, there is money to be gained by returning and playing. You're going to probably lose part of your salary because they're not going to make up all these regular season games.
Right.
I think we could all agree that's going to be impossible. But they are losing money on this, and they're looking toward next season. And, you know, how a salary cap and luxury tax is going to be calculated. It's going to have to be done in negotiation between the union and the league. And the more players get back this year financially, if they just want to look at it from that sense, that could be helpful for them next year when they look at, a financial stake that is balanced for the players and owners on a 50-50 split. And so if revenue goes down for the league, player salaries go down, just like they spiked up four or 4.5 years ago when the new TV deal came in, and there was this big spike in the cap, and a lot of average players got very rich.
Agent Wojnarowski joining us here, the best in the business. George Sedano, Ramona Shelburne with you here on 710 ESPN. Woj, where have these conversations gone as far as testing in general, and particularly if there were a positive test?
Well, Adam Silver has said pretty consistently lately, he did it again on the Board of Governors call yesterday, he talked about it on the players call Friday, that they can't go into this with an expectation that if a player or someone wants to test positive, they've got to shut the whole thing down. That you've seen it in some of the other sports that have started to come back here and abroad.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is you would remove that player, keep testing everybody. There's going to have to be a lot of testing, and then try to keep going. The question's going to be, George, how many is too many? Is it, if it's not one or two players or three players?
Yeah.
Five? Is it 10? What's that number where you say we have to stop? And I don't know if there's going to, I don't know if they're going to have a chart. I don't know if they're going to do that by feel, but that's where it'll get more complicated for them. If there's multiple positive tests in the environment, and that's part of the risk of going back into this. It might not go perfectly. In fact, I think we could all be confident it's probably not going to go exactly
Yeah.
the way they want it to, because nothing in this world is right now. And that certainly is going to be part of the concern of returning to play. That's going to be true if they return this season, and that's going to be true next season, because the virus will still be with us.
So out here in LA, you know, the two teams here with the Lakers and the Clippers, both feel like they have a chance to win a championship. And there is more, as you would say, there's more on the line for them than, let's say, the Warriors or the Hawks or Cleveland, who are not in it. Do these owners, the contending owners, are they pushing harder? Are the players pushing harder to get the season back and to at least finish this out? Do you notice a difference between how the contenders are playing this and what they're looking at?
You know, that's a good question, Ramona. And in some cases, yes. But I would tell you, there's some teams, some organizations who are very much in that championship mix, who all I've heard from them is safety. Is this safe?
Huh.
Are we doing the right thing? That will figure out the basketball. And so I think it, in a lot of ways, it goes more to the, I don't want to say the personality, but just sort of the makeup of different organizations, the different people who own the teams, the different people who run the teams, their sensibilities, how they look at this, then it does standings. But obviously, of course, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Bucks, the Celtics, I mean, the Heat, I mean, we go through the list, the teams who think like they can either win a championship or, hey, we can make a run, we could get to a conference final. But by and large, I have found that teams generally, like, there's a lot of humility in the sense of we don't know exactly what we're dealing with. I am not an infectious disease specialist, and we really have to know what we're walking back into for the sake of everybody. And that has transcended the competitive desire to win.
Woj, as far as the bubble isolation plan, why is it that there's some pushback, I guess? I know Adam has talked about it being the safest of options, but why do you think that there's been some pushback to that?
I think it's part of it is I think there's not a lot of detail for people about what exactly it's going to look like, feel like. It's been shrouded in some secrecy in terms of how exactly the coming and goings would work and the limitations on players. And one thing Silver said on the call with the players Friday, he doesn't imagine what they're not imagining is a situation where a player is just sitting in his room in a hotel room when he's not playing, that he'll play and just go back and sit in a room. That they expect you to be able to go outside, and it would be, and on the call yesterday, I was told somebody brought up the idea again of the bubble, and Adam Silver was kind of saying, hey, listen, like, we've got to look at this more as a campus environment. Now, listen, this isn't, it's not going to probably be Stanford as much as Ramona would love it to be there.
You ride bikes there. It's fun.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that, listen, it's not going to be anybody's vision of ideal. It just isn't. There's going to have to be restrictions and limitations to keep people safe. It's going to be you're going to have to sacrifice a measure of the freedom that you're used to having, which we're all doing now anyway. Mm-hmm. And I think if the focus is going to be on safety, that doesn't guarantee that it's going to be this, the virus is not going to infiltrate it. I don't think it does, but they're going to try to, I think the idea is to put as many precautions in place to allow that. And remember, this isn't like baseball, although it looks like baseball is headed in another direction with how they're going to play. For a lot of players, you're only going to be there a few weeks, a couple weeks, and your team's going to lose, and you're going to go home. And you're going to play a first-round series, and half the rest of the league is going to go home after getting beat in four or five games or six games. And so while there will be those who have to stay very much an extended period in it, they're going to be the ones chasing a championship. I think that will it's not like baseball, hypothetically, where you'd be starting a season and remember the original plan was, well, we'll go to Arizona and you're going, okay, my team stinks and I've got to play in 120 degree heat every single day and just stay in my room. Like, it isn't that. Like, you're going to be going in that thing and then half the league's going to be leaving because your team's going to get eliminated pretty quick here.
One of the things I thought that you reported last week that was really important in terms of this return, and I think there was a follow-up part of your story today where Adam talked about, standardizing testing across all 30 teams. That has felt like the biggest piece of the puzzle, because right now it's, there's a 20-page manual to go play and have somebody rebound for you with like a mask and gloves on. That's like not even close to real basketball again. And how do we get from that to being able to have real basketball where somebody's rebounding and there's contact and there's potential, you're within 6 feet. On Friday, Orlando and the two LA teams received permission to test their own players and staffers. How soon do we think other teams are going to get that? Other markets are going to get it, are going to get the ability to test people?
Well, the bar that the league has put on that is if in a marketplace that healthcare workers who need testing are able to get testing.
Yep.
Now, that's a very different bar from what was originally talked about, was the public and mass testing available to the public. But if you look at what the mayor of LA said and the county health commission in Orlando, they talked about not only the healthcare workers being able to do that, but I think the teams themselves had a standard of, is it available to the masses in my area before they said, we'd like to go forward and do it. I know one thing that was talked about yesterday and we reported on the call was the question of will rapid response mass testing be available by the time the league would start and say, like, let's say within the next 30 days. And the answer from the league's point of view was they didn't think so. And I think as much as anything, there's a big PR element. There's a big public relations element to the league coming back. And certainly it's still one of the hurdles there
about are NBA teams and players needlessly just plowing through thousands of tests to just play basketball? You know, certainly it's an industry and it's a business like others in the country, but is it going to be done? Is there a cost to others if this is being done? And I think that is going to be one of the questions that the league is going to have to grapple with and be able to articulate and be able to sell that they can be part of helping. Whether it's tangibly in communities with testing, whether it's through funding and charitable endeavors and research, which they've started to do, they've always done. But I do think they understand that that's going to be part of the selling of the league coming back if it resumes here in the next month or so.
Adrian Wojnarowski is the best in the business at covering the NBA. Check out all his work that's up right now on ESPN.com, the ESPN app, and he also tweets it out at WojESPN. Woj, stay safe, stay healthy. Thanks for making time for us, man. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, George. Thanks, Ramona. Talk to you guys soon.
See you.
You too.